Take your Bibles, open to Acts chapter 1, or if you want to follow along in the app, you can do that as well. I want to talk a little bit about victorious living. How many like to live victoriously? Half of you, that's pretty cool, but I know the other half of you are looking up the scriptures. So, we played a lot of games yesterday, and I just, for whatever reason, have always believed anytime I am involved or doing something, I just expect to win. Doesn't mean I always win. I just expect to win. I think that's one reason I'm a follower of Jesus. I expect to win. Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 6. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore your kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." By the way, I didn't make this a note. I just wanted to let you know that Pastor James and Grace and their family are igniting change in Highland Park today at a different church, and so keep them in your prayers that God will just minister his grace through them powerfully. In this sermon today, I'm going to tell a bunch of stories, some of the stories you've heard before, some you've never heard before. I don't know that if you realize this, but in one particular town in Thailand, there is a war against gangs that are literally infiltrating every part of that town. It's so bad that lots of cars are being damaged. People's property is being destroyed. People who are just sitting out having something to eat have their food taken. The police general in this town assigned a special unit specifically to combat this gang. They're armed with tranquilizers and slingshots. The special unit actually wears masks over their face because these gang members recognize them. What's the gang? The gang is actually a gang of monkeys. And they're approaching it as a gang. In fact, they have caught the leader, who even has a name, iCrow. How many of you knew about that story? But you've been now educated, so if you want to go and retell that story, feel free to do so. Let me tell you a little different story. My brother, my older brother, when we were growing up, he got his driver's license before me. And back in the day when people were my age back then, getting your license was very important because that's freedom. And so I had a level of freedom because my older brother had his license, but he was a really, really bad driver. He had a Maverick, green Maverick, I guess 1971, and literally he had hit every part of that car and had created a dent with the exception of the passenger side roof. Now, he had done the driver's side when he rolled it into a ditch. In fact, he had been in so many accidents with that car that when he would get to do about 40 to 50 miles an hour, the front fenders of that car would start going, because they wouldn't hold on to the frame anymore. Two stories, and what's the difference between the stories? The first story I parroted from somebody else. The second story I experienced myself. So what story would you tend to believe of the two? The one I experienced. And here's what the Lord is saying to us today as we kind of been talking about keepers of the flame and we're really growing in this extension of this flame that is inside of us. Heaven, Jesus is not looking for Christians who are parrots. He's looking for Christians who have experienced him. And there's a difference when you begin to tell a story of the experiences that you have with the Lord. We're going to break down this Acts chapter 1 here in a moment, but the connect is simply this. When you think about the Spirit-led life, it's that seeing and speaking go hand in hand in the Spirit-filled life. Let me say that again. Seeing and speaking go hand in hand in the Spirit, in the Spirit-filled life. Which is why oftentimes I bring up the conversation, where have you seen the activity of Jesus? As a follower of Jesus, as a believer, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, even if you became a believer in Jesus Christ when you were young, you have a story. You saw a transformation, a change in your life. It's a little harder to tell if you got saved when you were five. It's a little harder to say what you were like as a four-year-old. But I know what I was like before I started following Jesus. I know the moment that I started following Jesus because I actually saw things differently because Jesus was then involved in my life. And so the story after following Jesus, it's filled with moments. It's filled with experiences where Jesus has done certain things in my life. But then there are the everyday things in life, because Jesus, his desire, his heart, the heart of the Father is to be involved in every aspect of your life. For me, as I have a couple people that I talk to throughout the week, and this is where this activity comes. I say, this is how Jesus encouraged me this week. I was in scripture, and he just said something real special to me. It's something I saw, and then I'm going to share. Because the Spirit-filled life is about seeing what God is doing and sharing what God is doing. That scripture that we read used the word witness. And if your definition of witness is just to go around and beat people with the Bible, then you're doing nothing more than parenting. But when you have experiences with Jesus and you share your experiences with Jesus, you become a witness. When our daughter was young, and we were different stage of life. Our kids were younger, and so, you know, maybe you can relate to this. When your kids are younger, you know, they take a lot of your payroll. Amen. Right? And we had went to a water park. And we literally just got into our swimming suits, and we went out of the locker room. We were getting ready to go to the first area where we were going to play around in the water, and our daughter fell flat on her face. And those two cute little teeth in the bottom of her mouth went right through the bottom of her lip. And so we got to go to the emergency room. And certainly early on in our marriage, where I had a job that didn't have health insurance, so we went to the hospital and had the emergency room experience. And when you have an emergency room experience, you get an emergency room bill. And being the dad that I was, I prayed, but you know what I did a whole lot more of? Stressed. Now, how am I going to pay this unexpected bill? But God's gracious. And don't even remember how or what took place, but I went out to get the mail at some point, and there was a check that was the exact amount of the emergency room. I learned, I experienced God coming through in everyday life. I've been at a restaurant where the power and the presence of God so hit me that if you were in the restaurant, you would have thought I was drunk. I've experienced that. And what I've come to learn over the years is what I read about in here, I expect to see out here. Now, when I do this, I'm not saying you, even though that's true. I'm talking about in my everyday life. In the world in which this flesh interacts with, I expect to experience a living God. Because when I experience the living God, he brings something that I can see, and he brings something that I can share. Because Jesus is glorified every time, Every time someone in his kingdom witnesses to the reality of his existence, not 2,000 years ago, not through theology, but in a shared experience of today. Here's just a general rule of thumb that I've learned over the years. When I say it, you're going to agree because you know it too. Anybody can argue experience or theology. Anybody can argue the Bible. I've had plenty of people, they've come to me with their canned scriptures and they're gonna make their point, of which I kind of would respond in this manner, because it's also scripture and I just am using it my way, because the Bible says that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, doesn't it? Did you know he's called me to do his work? So you can make the scriptures do whatever you want it to do. By the way, that's not my theology. But you can make the scriptures do whatever you want it to do. And so we live in a world where people argue scripture. I believe in pre-trib rapture. I believe in post-trib rapture. I believe in mid-trib rapture. Who cares? It's going to pan out. Believe that. If the rapture has to do with our belief system, by all means, believe in pre-trib rapture. Don't know that it does, but the fact of the matter is that it has to do with what we've experienced. Nobody can argue your experience. They don't have to believe it, but they can't argue it. And so the Spirit-filled life is about seeing and sharing. And while I have a ton of stories over the years of Jesus showing up in interesting and powerful and unique and different ways, I don't just want to share those. I'm constantly coming to the Lord saying, I want to see you today. I want to see your activity in my life every day if possible. Doesn't mean that I do, but because I come with a heart that is expectant there, it's not unusual for much time to go by before I experience the Lord. So do you want new experiences? Or do you just want to live off your salvation of yesterday? Because ultimately, when you learn to see them and share them, the result is what we call igniting change. And I believe the more people that see and share their experiences with Jesus, the more we will be effective in igniting change going into the future. So how do we grow into that? Now we're going to break this scripture down a little bit. I want to give you three words in the grow, because when you really look at that scripture, there are three things that about our faith, and you're not in one or the other. You find that maybe you're in one part of your life, you're in one area, and another part, another area. But this has everything to do with growth, and it's sight. It's trust and it's worship. It's sight, it's trust, and it's worship. So what do I mean by the sight? Well, at the very beginning, what did the disciples say? They asked the Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? They wanted to see something. And for us, It's a belief system. It's a way that we approach our faith in Jesus, that we better see it. I'm not going to believe it until I see it. You ever heard anybody say something like that? They typically cross their arms when they do that, by the way, because this is just the way it's going to be. It's not even true until I see it. And so what happens from that is, and this is where we can certainly in certain areas, pray it's not in all areas, but when you live a life by sight, you tend to believe in heart that God thinks like you think. That's what they did. God, are you going to set up your kingdom now? Jesus, are you going to set it up now? Because we think now is the best time for you to do it, and we want to see it. And so they believe, as many of us can do in certain areas, that of course God agrees with you politically. The funny thing about this whole sight thing is when we get caught here, when we get stuck in this place, and we don't grow beyond this dynamic of our faith that's just in sight, and where we think that ultimately God's going to meet all of my needs. Now, how many of you have been a follower of Christ, and it's okay to raise your hand, over 25 years? Okay, I only want you to answer this question. If you raise your hand, you answer this question. How many of you that raised your hand have found that God has met all of your needs? He actually does meet all our needs, but what they've learned to recognize is that a lot of our needs are really our wants. Right? And when you think about this in our Americanized Christianity, we believe that, boy, if we just confess it enough, we will see it. If we have enough faith, we will see it. And so the result ultimately for us is, if all goes well, then we're doing good. And when things are going well, I feel good and I feel loved. And so I will love him. I don't know how many times I've had people come to me and ultimately they tell me what God thinks. But rarely do people come and tell me what God is doing. Because most of the time we're living by sight. How many times have I heard over the years people say, man, if I win the lottery, I'm going to give a lot to the church. Of which I ran home and fell on my knees, said, God, give them the lottery. No. He who is faithful with little will be faithful with much, Bible says. How many times have I heard people, and well-meaning people, and I get it. Man, if God really loved me, if God really cared about me, why would I be experiencing this? We're going to come back to that question here in a minute, because you don't have to be a Christian long before that just comes to your mind. Why this, God? Why this? Or man, if God loved me and God cared about me, I would just be successful. Everything I put my hands on would succeed. See, all this is living by sight. But we don't live by sight, do we? Bible says we live by what? Faith. Which is exactly what Jesus moved them to. So they wanted to live by sight there, but Jesus says, no, I'm going to make you live by trusting what I say. So what did he say? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons. Let me tell you something. In your experience, for some of you right now, you may be going through the hardest thing you've ever gone through in life. It is not for you to know the times of the seasons. You want out. You want the escape. You want to get to whatever's next. But it's not for you. He's saying you've got to trust me. He says the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. In our spiritual growth, we come to the place where we begin to recognize that we serve a God that is all wise. And he's wise enough to know yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So he knows exactly what to do. He doesn't miss it. He doesn't mess up. And so what happens with us in this growth, it's not just a matter of what we see anymore. Now we recognize that it's about his timing. It's about God actually trying to do something in me or something through me that I can, watch this, that I can see and that I can share. That's his desire. His desire is that we would see. And ultimately what happens is we become more Christ-like. So I make a choice. He calls all of us to make a choice to choose to trust him when we don't understand something. Whatever it is. Well, your children may not be serving the Lord, your grandchildren, you may have a spouse that's not serving the Lord, and you're praying to with great fervency, and you can't understand why God is not coming through for you. We are called to trust him when we don't understand. Because we don't know the times of the seasons. God in his authority puts things in place. I choose to trust him because he knows. Now watch this. This is important. I choose to trust him because he knows what's best for him and me. Let me say that again. He knows what's best for him and me. Because he wants me to experience something that I can see and share so he gets the glory. Now, I told this story recently. Forgive me if I told it to you and you're having to hear it again. But before I was called into full-time ministry, everything I do, I expect to do well and I expect to succeed. And I, Clarissa and I were newly married, and I worked for a guy as a salesperson, and I'll just confess my knuckleheadness in this story as well. We were newly married, and right before we got married and went on our honeymoon, I solved a company problem, just as an employee. I was a salesperson. And then we went on our honeymoon. And partway through our honeymoon, I get a call, and they said, will you come back and run the company? But I had to come back early from my honeymoon. I didn't understand the value of relationship at that time. Clarissa's long since forgiven me. So we actually cut our honeymoon short so I'd come back around this coming. It's the place where I first led someone to Jesus. And that company grew from I don't know, 15, 18 salespeople to over 40 salespeople. We had to move into larger building. God was just doing incredible things as everything I seemed to be telling them to do and all the directions we went and the managers that I hired was all successful. And then they decided they wanted to sell something that just was counter to what I believed I could do. And of course, you know, they were successful because of where I was leading them. So I made them make a choice, me or that product. You know, they chose the product. And I went away from that experience going, why, God? And because I was newly married and had a family, I had to go out and get another job. And so I went and I got another job. And I got in with a company that was a company that had offices in Phoenix, had offices in Miami, and offices in New York. And I worked in the 10th floor of a high rise. And we would have people who would call, and we would help people with bad credit get loans so that they could pay off their debt and just consolidate. And I was constantly the best salesperson in the room. I would look around and I would go, I could double their sales like that. I know it. I know it without a doubt. And so I would pray and say, God, listen, you know, I did this for you. It's important to understand the story. God, I said no because I want to have the character of Jesus. At the least you can do is promote me here because you know I could increase their sales. Now, I was an outspoken Christian. They knew I was a believer, and they would never promote me to management. I was so irritated. I remember standing at the window and just staring outside going, God, what is going on? And do you know, I came into work one day, and there was FBI tape across the door to get into the office because they were not following through on the lender end. Three places across the country, FBI raided New York, Miami, and Phoenix. Do you realize that while I didn't understand and I was mad, the Lord taught me such an incredible lesson through this experience, that sometimes when we don't get what we want, he's protecting you. He's protecting me. Because here's the thing, if I was a manager, I could be prosecuted. But I was ignorant. I thank the Lord for ignorance. Right? But how do I know? Why can I share that? Because I saw it. And I recognize that there just are times where God doesn't come through because he is protecting. So when someone hurts you or harms you, you need to choose to trust the Lord. You need to choose to trust the Lord every time you get paid with your money. Oh, come on now. That's worth more of an amen than I just got. Every time you get paid, trust the Lord with your money. Doesn't matter if you have a lot or you have a little. This is big for me because this is so much a value of my own heart and the way I approach life and the way I approach people in general. I choose to trust every promise that God has for me in the life to come. And I live my life today knowing there's going to be a there and then. And I want the best that I absolutely could best. I struggle at times and I go, man, I could go back and I could do this job, and I could do that job, and man, I wouldn't have financial challenges. Not that we have them, but the flesh gets in, right? And the Lord says, wait a minute, you're going to choose to trust me for every promise that I put before you about the there and then? Yeah, I choose to trust you. Because I don't want to live by sight. I want to live by trust. But there's a whole nother dynamic that comes out here, because Jesus says in verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. See, I say, where do you get worship out of that? It has everything to do with worship. How do we know the power came upon them? They spoke in other tongues. And as they spoke in other tongues, what did people hear them saying? In their own language, they heard them praising and glorifying God. Paul said it this way. He said, listen, I pray in tongues more than y'all. Texas translation, more than y'all. And understand that when you pray in a tongue, it's what happens? You build yourself up. Something happens. Why? Because when God gives us this incredible supernatural language, he understands that you can only go so far in your own human understanding, that you are limited in your human ability. So he gives you a supernatural ability to worship him in a dynamic that you could not do on your own. The book of Romans says that the Spirit knows the heart of the Father. And so when you yield yourself to say, you just come to me in a language that's a heavenly language, he knows the heart of the Father. So he is perfectly worshiping the Father through you. And there is a power associated anytime we turn to the Heavenly Father and begin to worship. Now that means that whether we worship in understanding or we worship in tongues, we're turning to him. Now, so you say, well, I don't pray in tongues. I don't worship in tongues. Well, then you better, if you're having challenges and you're not seeing and you're not having anything to share, you better start worshiping twice as much as you're currently doing. Because it's all about worship. It's all about looking to him. When you look at him, clarity comes. When you look at him, all of a sudden you go, wait a minute, that this stuff of the earth, it means nothing. Now I'm going to move into an unconditional love for the Almighty God. It's about you. I love you, God, more than anything in my life. It moves in a more deeper trust relationship because it becomes a love relationship. You recognize he's holy. And so what does he do? He brings gifts. He brings gifts, not for yourself, but for you to be able to share. Imagine that. He brings true and authentic freedom. He gives us strength for fighting in the realms of darkness. And while I don't like it, I do like the fact that it's not harder to convince Christians in a modernized world that there's a demonic realm at work, because it's more and more in our face. But when we pray in tongues, we're worshiping, all of a sudden we have power now to be able to see a victory, and you move into a victorious life. When you get to the end of your ability, he supernaturally gives you an ability to worship. Now, you might think that when it comes to prayer and worship, that Rich, you're really articulate. No. In fact, my brain empties pretty quick. It does. But then I just start praying in tongues. Because unlike a Sunday sermon where, you know, I have before the Lord, I've seen the flow of the sermon. I know the stories that I'm going to say. I know the thing. Man, you start praying just about whatever, you know, there's not a lot of motors going on up here when it comes to that stuff. It ends quickly. But I can begin to pray in a language that's not of my own. It's not that God takes the back of my tongue and starts taking that muscle and doing it. No, the Bible says that as the Spirit enabled them. Listen, whether it's Spanish or Swahili or Korean or even Apache, people come to you and say, this is how you say that, right? In Apache, I learned this really quick because, you know, that was the first context. I was a white guy in a dark-skinned environment. And whenever they would speak Apache and they would say Dosh King, they were talking about a white guy because that's what that means. Say that, Dosh King. Did I control your tongue? No, I just enabled you. And that's all the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit gives you in your mind what to say. You trust him because you're not living by sight. You trust that he's going to give you good things to say, which is why Jesus said that who of you being good fathers would give a snake or a rock? No, you give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Heavenly Father give you the Spirit, give the Spirit to those who ask? And so when I am down, I worship and he lifts me up. When I am uncertain, I worship and he directs. When I need to overcome the enemy in my life, I worship. Because here's what happens. When you begin to worship, you begin to see something. It could be a directive. It could be the Lord telling you to do something. It could be a place of encouragement, whatever it might be. And you recognize that it's not you, it's the Lord. And he's saying, now you can see something and you can say something. Because when you worship the Lord, that's where the activity and the power of the Christian life comes. That's the source of it. And so whether you are praying in tongues or not praying in tongues, the more power that you need, you just got to be turning and looking to the Lord. I would submit to you that his desire for all of us is that we would pray in tongues because now I'm praying in the perfect will of the Heavenly Father. And that while my mind and my flesh, because your mind kind of is your flesh, don't agree with the things of the Lord, he says, that's okay, I can bypass that. Till you get the new one, because there'll come a day we don't need that anymore. But until then, I can bypass that with my spirit. And if we trust him, we'll do that. And let me tell you something, you'll have experience after experience after experience after experience after experience after experience that you can see and you can share. We live in a day where people all hear the Bible. Listen, it doesn't matter if it's YouTube Shorts or it's Instagram or it's TikTok. Do you know how many people are out there misrepresenting the scriptures? And people are convinced. They're convinced in heretical stuff. But if people see that Jesus is alive and active in the world today, and he's making himself known to you and through you and to me and through me, they can't argue that. They don't have to believe it, but they can't argue it. And here's the beautiful thing. That's what made Jesus famous. It was the miracle stuff. So allow the power to be made known in you and through you. Well, how do you do that? Let's hit the go piece real quick. Simply this. It starts off by seeking the Lord. It's a desire to want to know. It's a desire to going, hey, God, I want to know you. So that means, and some of you need to commit right here, right now before the Lord. You need to be in this book. Multiple ways to be in this book. You can read the book, different kinds of versions that are easy to read. You can listen to this book, whatever it is. You need to be in it every day. Now, hear me on this. Now, I'm okay for devotionals, but that's not pure scripture. That's how you parrot. Here's what somebody else said, so I'm going to say because it made me feel good. But if you just will take you and the Spirit and the Word of God and seek God in here, you're going to start recognizing him out here. You're going to start recognizing that maybe there are things that are going on out here that aren't good, that aren't right. Seek him in worship, more than just on Sunday. Listen, the words of the songs, that's fine, that's good. I think that's a good way to get our hearts in check and right. But you know what? We don't need song to worship the Lord. Just turn to him. Tell him how great he is. Talk to him about the wonderful things that he did in here. Thank him and worship him for the things that he's done in our life. If you've not been filled with the Holy Spirit with that speaking in tongues part, just worship him. Listen, he's bigger than you and I. He can get past your hangups. He just wants a heart that is willing and longing for him. He's the one that will empower you. But I would go a step further. If you really find yourself hung here, I would take one of those grow cards and I would write prayer appointment on there, because we got people who will pray with you over an extended period of time to receive everything God has for you. So you just write that down, write that prayer appointment, someone will get you that. But here's the beautiful part. If you seek, expect to succeed. Live a life expecting to succeed in all areas. How do you do that? You mark the moments. Write them in a journal. Do something that helps you not forget all the wonderful things the Lord has done. Listen, you need to get used to winning. Sound like Donald Trump. Not my intent. You need to get used to winning because you are followers of the greatest winner of all of human history. So we walk victoriously. Does it mean that we win at everything? No, problems happen. But regardless of the problems I have in this life, I've been promised a there and then that I'm looking forward to. And so I'm going to keep going. In this place of success, get used to hearing the voice of the Lord. When God speaks to you, mark it. Don't be the Christian that says, I never hear of the Lord. Shame on you for that. God is always talking. You just got to tune it in. So learn to turn it in, because that's what keepers of the flame do. They recognize that we have a fire in us that this world, this flesh can't contain. But then go the next step. Tell someone, share it. Get in the habit, Get in the habit of talking about the things of the Lord. And this is the great thing about the body of Christ. Whether you're talking about the gifts of the Spirit and prophetic and healing, all that stuff. Look around. Look at everybody here. Just look around, everybody. They're all here for practice. You can feel the Lord's bringing a prophetic word to somebody, and you know you could be wrong, and it's okay. Amen. You got people that would love to hear of what God has done in your life, because the Spirit-filled life is about seeing and sharing. You don't have to be around me long. I love the stories of the people in this group. In fact, some of you are going to know this, right? It's not unusual for me going, you got to tell your story. You got to tell your story, right? I do that, don't I? Because the Spirit-filled life is about seeing and sharing. Because when you share it, it's not just words. You become a witness to a resurrected Christ who can now take your witness and prove to somebody who is blind, who is dead, who is lost, that they can be found, they can be loved, they can be encouraged, they can have a life of success and victorious living. Why? Not because you know a scripture, because you've experienced Jesus Christ and want to share it with them. Boy, that to me, I get excited about it. I get that excited about it. It doesn't have to be Sunday morning. Because there's nothing better than to sit and share the realities of Jesus in our life. And so, Father, will you help us do it? In fact, if you want the Lord to help you do it, just lift your hands to him. Just say, Lord, help me. Help me current stories, current experiences, because, Lord, I want to see and I want to share. Lord, I want to be a good steward of kingdom things. I don't want to get so focused in the here and now. While, Lord, we know that's important, but God, we ever want you in the backdrop of our hearts and minds, knowing at any given moment you're going to show up and you're going to show off your power and your might so I can see something and share something. And Lord, I don't have to have the courageous side to share in these moments. People look at my life, and there are moments where you say, now is a good moment to speak. Some you've called to be evangelists, but so many others have been called just to develop a Christ-likeness in an everyday living so that ultimately they can really see and then share their experiences of you being alive in their life and saying you can be alive in their life as well. And so, Lord, thank you for helping us with that. Lord, I pray also that we won't do this journey alone, that each of us will have a partner, somebody who will challenge us, encourage us, prod us, and poke us to move forward in the things that are of you. Because we don't want to be people of sight, Lord. We want to be people who trust you and worship you so we truly can have this victorious living and see your flame extended as we ignite change in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.
Hey, thank you again for joining us. We hope that our time together has been a blessing to you. And it doesn't have to end there. If you want to find last week's sermon, you can go to Facebook, YouTube, or you can listen to us on the audio podcast. You can let us know if you'd like to be further connected in a life group. But let me go ahead and pray as we close and say, God, thank you for being with us, Lord God. Thank you for helping us to carry your words, Lord God, and change our lives, Lord. Help us to carry your love to those around us. And we thank you for what you are doing. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and thank you for being a part. We hope to see you soon.